Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I'm Chris Stafford from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Glenn the Geek from the Kentucky Horse Park in Lexington, Kentucky. And you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 4th, 2011, episode number 265, sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
I can't take it anymore.
Thank God it's Friday.
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
We work all week so that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a frown. I need some horsing around.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Glenn. Well, this makes a nice change.
I know. We actually get to see one of my co-hosts, which is a miracle in itself, because we all record in different locations.
I know.
And Jamie is with us this morning. She is producing today's show from Phoenix, Arizona. We made her get up early just to do the producing today, which she is thrilled about, by the way.
Oh, I'm sure she is, and I want to thank her for letting me keep her seat warm for a day on Horses in the Morning. And thank you for inviting me to be a guest co-host. It, you know, I'm stepping outside the box here from
well,
my shows.
We actually had to get somebody that knew something about jumping, so that's the other reason.
Which we should mention, of course, the Jumping Radio Show is coming to you from the Alltech National Horse Show all week. We are recording segments for future episodes, so talking to a lot of the riders this week here. It's a nice opportunity, as you say, to get to go face-to-face with them. So often I'm just down the line with them.
And our regular listeners will know that we've been promoting the Alltech National Horse Show here for many weeks now on the show. Every week we've had somebody different on.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have many guests here on the show today. Right here we are recording from the Media Center, to give everybody a little bit of a description, here at the Alltech Arena, which is a new indoor arena that was built for the World Equestrian Games. And so up above us is the concourse that goes around the stadium. They have the stadium looking fantastic. I posted
yes.
a picture on our Facebook page this morning.
Yes.
The stadium is looking fantastic. They have it well decorated. Good job.
Yep.
So it was, it was a good job with that.
It's beautiful. And, you know, it's making its home here now. It's moved to, it was obviously got a lot of history, moved here from various other venues. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. But as you say, we've got a terrific lineup of guests, and we're going to kick off, I think, with the people that are, I think, in the engine room, we should say, for Alltech to make this show
happen. In
other
words, they do all the hard work.
They are definitely driving the machinery here. There's a whole team of Alltech personnel, and I think we've got two guests we're going to bring in right now to tell us a little bit more about what they are doing. And one of those is Ali Hambry. She handles the PR at Alltech. And the other one is Jonathan Lang. He's the promotion manager for Alltech. So welcome, both of you, to the show.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
You need to get a little closer. There you go. Hey,
there
guys, Allie has been helping us, and we have to thank her all along, booking the guests and giving out free tickets and doing all of that on the show, which has been terrific. And she has avoided being on the air. So when I saw her the other day,
hey,
I said,
it's an easy job to pull everyone else in and just get free tickets away.
You are getting on the air today, no matter what. Thank you for joining us. So tell now, this is it a little easier than the World Equestrian Games was?
You know, it's different, but I guess it could be a little easier.
You don't have 16 sports or whatever, so that helps.
We're not dealing with the entire Kentucky Horse Market. It's actually nice that we're all in the Alltech Arena, and we don't really have to deal with the weather. It is kind of nasty out there today, but we've been able to enjoy the nice warm indoors. So.
Very cozy in here,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Feels like Phoenix, where Jamie is, actually.
Oh, yeah, I bet. But we're really glad that the National Horse Show decided to come to Kentucky and that we are able to be a part of it, and especially in the Alltech Arena.
We're glad, too, because Chris and I had to drive 10 minutes to get here this morning from our home. So that was nice. So, Jonathan, tell us a little bit about what your role is in all of this.
Well, you talk about, how this event different from the World Equestrian Games. What are there being challenges? Is it easier? It is and it isn't. We certainly had the momentum coming off of 2010. You know, the new challenge is informing people, educating them about this event, particularly the general audience. The momentum, we had a lot of renewed interest from the games last year, but going back out, educating them about what is the National Horse Show, the fact that it's been around for 128 years, what it means, it's a big deal. So that's what we're focusing on now. We've done a lot of educational, call them our horse sense. We do these programs once a month. So we've started doing those in Lexington, also in Louisville, going out and just talking to the general public, talking to equine enthusiasts, getting the message out. And the beauty is we can build this thing after year one. It's going to continue to grow. So we're very excited.
Well, no better team than Alltech to be behind a show of any sort, but to be behind a show that is now finding new legs in a new home. You have such a huge machinery. I mean, there's no question.
Sure.
I mean, you really do have the resources there at Alltech. Give us a sense of how many people you've got here, Jonathan, and as part of the whole team, because you've got production. You've just got everybody backstage.
We do, and you see Mason in the background there. We work hand-in-hand with the folks at the National Horse Show, and all of us are one big team. From the Alltech perspective, we have, working with the National Horse Show folks on the production, all the lighting elements. Our staff, we've got about, 30 people or so here.
I agree.
Between the press, working with the National Horse Show press as well. Then also all of our staff that are manning the educational areas, the Pierce's Place area, the Alltech Experience area, just being ambassadors, helping out the other exhibitors, and just making sure everybody's having a good time. We want everybody to come out, see the event, see what it's all about, and we want them to come back again next year.
Well, Ali, you've been a regular on the show leading up to all the promotions that we've done here on the Horse Radio Network. Tell us a bit more about what you're actually doing now. You're on the ground and the show has started.
Well, we're just making sure that anybody that comes out has an enjoyable experience. There's lots to do here at the Alltech Arena during the Alltech National Horse Show. There's shopping. There's an educational pavilion, just like Jonathan mentioned. And if that's not your thing and you just want to sit back and relax, there is Pierce's Place where you can get a drink and kick your feet up. And then you can enjoy the show all day long. So there's really something for everyone, and we just want to make sure that when these people are coming out to enjoy it, that they get to experience all of that and they have a really good time.
I wanted to add that there's a lot of Alltech ale here, and I've been happy to report that. I was just reporting, just saying. It's not a dry venue.
No.
Not at all.
Which leads me very nicely into my next point about all the things that Alltech does. I mean, we can drink your coffee, drink your ale, eat the beef. There are so many things that Alltech does that are a spin-off, really. They are ancillary products.
There's even Dippin' Dots here.
That is true. We have it all. There's something for everyone. If you're not of age.
That's right.
But remind everybody, if you would, what it is that Alltech actually does. What's its main purpose in life?
Yeah, we're an animal health and nutrition company. And it's funny how, many people ask, so how does this all connect? And there actually is a connection. Our president, Dr. Lyons, has a doctorate in yeast fermentation, and that actually connects with animal nutrition and then actually goes into beer making and how you use yeast fermentation to make beer. So he used to work at Guinness, and after he started Alltech, he thought, why don't I bring back my beer memory? So he created
good route. Get to where you really want to
go. Go back to the good times in life.
And he started with beer, and now he's on to hard liquor. So
can only go up from here.
I don't know where you go after hard liquor. I'm not quite sure.
So right now we do have our trio of beers, Kentucky Ale, Kentucky Light, and Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale, and we've branched off to Bluegrass Sundown, which is a bourbon.
My wife loves
coffee.
That stuff. It's like a coffee drink that's very alcoholic.
We were enjoying it in here yesterday.
You drink
the
it in little quantities though, because it's serious stuff.
Then we also launched our Pierce Lyons Reserve, which is a malt whiskey, and just 2 weeks ago we launched Town Branch Bourbon. So both new ventures.
I haven't tried the Town Branch yet.
You will tomorrow night.
Okay. And I'll be here.
And then we also have the Altec Angus Beef and Dippin' Dots. So, yeah, again, something for everyone.
Well, give us a sense of why Altec thought this was going to be the right fit for them. Because it's one thing doing a World Equestrian Games every 4 years, which is a huge project in of itself.
Yeah.
But to get associated with a classical horse show, if you will, as opposed to all the other things you could do in the horse world now that you have your brand name well associated with horses. Why did you make that choice?
You know, we looked around, and after the end of the games, we knew we wanted to do a legacy event, you know, and it was a question of what we were going to do. We looked at doing a weekend of entertainment. We looked at Altec Western Games, and we're trying to find a good fit. And just by, I would say, a little bit of luck, you know, Mason was in town. He was looking at
Mason Phelps, president of the Altec National Horse Show.
Looking for a new home for the National Horse Show. And John Nicholson and Mason came out and spoke with some of our colleagues, and we decided it was a good fit. You know, and it's what better fit than to
combine these two companies that both strive for excellence in the animal world.
Yeah, because people ask us, you know, equine historically is a very small percentage of our business. So to associate ourselves with this, it allows us to build that brand, and also, you know, what better event to be a part of than one that really showcases animals performing at their peak. So it gives us an opportunity to engage that new audience for us, and certainly I think tying the two brands together really elevates it, takes it to the next level. So we're all really excited about it.
Well, of course, and also to have the perfect venue, the Altec Arena, which of course is brand named by Altec, the brand new arena here. So it's a perfect fit all round, isn't it? So you're in it for the long haul, presumably. This is going to be a long-term marriage, not a fleeting romance.
No, we want to see that. We've already been having some discussions about next year and looking 5, 10 years down the road. What do we want to do? How can we build this event? You know, I'd like to say a good problem to have is we outgrow this arena. We spread this thing out. What can we do to get everybody involved where every single night is packed? So that's what we want to do.
Are we going to be taking the roof off? Make it
possibly
higher?
Possible. Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for being here. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much for all of your help, Ellie, in getting all of this organized, and we appreciate your efforts.
Thank you, Glenn.
And you're great on the radio. You have to come back now.
You tricked me into it somehow.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we have the big boss waiting for us there, Chris.
We do, actually. We mentioned Mason Phelps, of course, who is the president of the Altec National Horse Show and has been president of the National Show before it ever came to here to Kentucky for quite before. He was on my show, of course, the Jumping Radio Show, promoing this event leading up to the competition here this week, and so much is going on that this poor man is running around ragged. But Mason, a change of costume every day, twice a day at least, you know. But welcome anyway to the real show here at the Altec National Horse Show and to Horses in the Morning. Nice to have you here.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here because, as I said, you're running ragged, aren't you?
No, this is just all in the course of the day's work.
He doesn't look too stressed to me.
No, those Altec folks, they got me out of here at 4:45 this morning to get on television. So, you know, I don't think I got a chance to sleep in.
I was going to say, you didn't have to wear a tie for us, Mason.
Well, you know, I've got to keep up the profile. You know, they don't let me out of the building till the end of that party every night. So, you know, we can sleep on Monday.
So you have tried the Altec, the new Altec liquor then?
Well, I must confess I haven't.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
That will come. Well, let's just set the scene here, Mason. This, of course, as we said with our Altec friends here, this is a new home for the Altec National Horse Show. We've talked about this on the other show, but let's just remind this new audience at Horses in the Morning here exactly why it came here, because it's been a bit of an orphan for a few years, hasn't it?
Well, no question. You know, for 118 years, we were at Madison Square Garden, New York City, and truthfully, that's a very unhorse-friendly facility in downtown Manhattan. Sure, it had a lot of cachet and one of the best sporting venues probably in the world, but very difficult to stage an event there and very expensive. And so for about 10 years, we've been nomadic. We've been at the piers out there in New York, and we've been down in Wellington, and in Syracuse, and when they built the All-Tech Arena here at the Kentucky Horse Park, and we came and checked it out in December of 2009, walked in, and we just knew we needed to move the horse show here. It just, it felt right.
So 2 years ago, you had this venue eyed up then?
Well, I've been sort of trying to figure out what was best for the National Horse Show, because honestly, we were kind of a death's door, and it was really about to be the end of an era, and thank God for the horse park and the Lexington and the family here of All-Tech, and it just, it was a natural. It was no question in our mind that this is where the National Horse Show needed to be, and on the heels of the World Equestrian Games and all the All-Tech paving the way for equestrian sports in this community, what better place than to host the event right here in Lexington.
So how does it feel now you've moved in?
Oh, my God. You know, you go around and you try to gauge between you talking to the professionals and the exhibitors and the vendors and everybody, and the positive feedback is like nothing I've ever experienced before. I mean, we had that sort of in the old days with the crazy jumping derby that we used to do in Rhode Island, and that's an era gone by, and it's renewed energy. And to see all of these people, all these professionals from coast to coast and the Europeans that are here, just nothing but gushing with niceness and compliments. I mean, it's really exciting.
And, of course, as you know, Mason, we've been around enough shows to know that eventually it has to develop its own culture in a new venue. No matter how established the show itself is, it has to develop an atmosphere, a culture, its own personality, doesn't it? And that takes time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everything's a building experience. And, I mean, this is our first time in this building, and we will do what we can to make it bigger and better next year and tweak it here and there. And it's here to stay.
Well, that's nice to know. Of course, since we live here, it's very nice to know you're here today. Well, let's give a sense of this program here, because it's hunters, it's jumpers. There are a lot of hunters, and the jumpers will say, oh, there's too many hunters, we want more jumpers. So how do you choose which? Is some of it come with the tradition, what's expected of the National?
Well, you know, we've got a huge collection of trophies, and they're all sort of slotted into the different hunter divisions. And in the tradition of the National Horse Show in New York City in the old days, you have to offer all of what we call our A-rated divisions that are recognized by our federation. So we've done all of that, which is the professional divisions, which also includes the junior and the amateur hunter divisions. And you know, that takes a fair bit of time and a schedule to do all of that. And then, of course, you have your jumper divisions for our big boys, as I call them, the elite riders. And, you know, we have 9 Olympians here. 4 of them have won gold medals. So, you know, we have to provide for them and give them some prize money that is significant, and I'm happy to say, and thanks to All-Tech, we have the $250,000 All-Tech Grand Prix coming up on Saturday night. And then, of course, the juniors and the amateur jumpers, we needed to give them an opportunity to showcase their abilities. And it's a great, talented group of up-and-coming athletes that will probably represent the United States somewhere down the line. And getting together with the Show Jumping Hall of Fame folks, we were able to create a $50,000 Show Jumping Hall of Fame Junior Amateur Grand Prix on Saturday afternoon, probably one of the richest prize monies for those kinds of divisions, and it's just all part of what makes it all work.
And Sunday's kind of a special day here, too.
Well, yeah, Sunday is the ASPCA McClay Finals, and, you know, that's 200 of the best kids coast to coast. They've all been through regional finals to qualify to get here, and we'll start at 7 o'clock in the morning, and by the end of the day, there'll be one winner, and we'll have a national champion. You know, and many national champions have gone on to be superstars in the Olympics. Bill Steinkraus, George Morris, Frank Chapeau, Mary Chapeau. I mean, the list is endless of some of the fabulous names of horses and riders that have won the McClay as juniors and now are icons in the business.
And that truly is the National, isn't it? I mean, the McClay is the National is McClay.
Yeah, absolutely. They go hand in hand. I mean, and the ASPCA McClay has been part of the National Horse Show since 1933, and we're happy we can carry on the tradition right here in Lexington.
And as you said, you've got some really top names in the sport here this week, Mason, and not least of all the three-quarters of the Pan-American gold medal team.
Well, I mean, not only that, the individual gold medal.
Absolutely. Chris is going to be on the jumping radio show.
Then, of course, McLean Ward, who's got a couple of gold medals under his belt at the Olympic Games.
Yeah.
And
first and second last night in the big class.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, we've got the best of the best.
Yeah, you don't just name drop. You do have those.
Well, you know, I mean, it might be, we're talking about the Americans, but let's not forget Rodrigo Pizzo.
Rodrigo and his wife,
They're here, and Nick Skelton is here, and Harry Smolders is here.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's
Well, if you made that point about the being the big money. You've got to have the money to attract these big guns. I know they came from the Washington International. You've got to entice them down to Kentucky for the first time to experience the National here, and hopefully they'll come back. They'll tell their friends when they go back to Europe that they really have to include them.
Oh, it's going to be bigger and better and more prize money next year. You just
more prize money. Wow.
That's my goal.
Where's my horse?
You know, and with the marriage that we have with Alltech and the National Horse Show and working with the Alltech folks, it's just been a match made in heaven. I mean, it's worked out really well, and I couldn't be happier with the relationship we have with the Dr. and Mrs. Lyons and the whole Alltech family and the National Horse Show family. It's like it was meant to be.
It really was meant to be. Let's talk about some of the celebrities you've got here doing the opening ceremonies.
You've got Roland Heinen, you know, who's one of the Irish tenors.
We heard him practicing yesterday, Chris and I did, or the other day, and it was... He just about blew this. We thought the windows were going to break.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen. He is performing tonight. He's going to do, you know, my old Kentucky home tonight. So
he's
that's
incredible.
In the details, everybody.
Incredible.
Extraordinary voices. And, of course, Everett McCormick, who's from
the University of Kentucky. Yes, him and some of the opera stars in the university are all going to be here to do our national anthem.
I heard them practicing, too, and it was unbelievable.
And they're rotating each night. They're different groups each night.
We put in a whole new sound system just to accommodate them so they were as clear as a bell.
Oh, really?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Wow.
And now we left no stone unturned, we hope.
Let me tell you, they were plenty loud enough. Nobody will have trouble hearing them. That's a problem.
Well, if people want to come to the show, Mason, we've got 3 days left of competition here, and there's still plenty of seats available.
Yeah, plenty of seats. Bring the family, children under 12, get in for free. Daytime tickets are $10. You can buy them at the door. Tonight, Friday night, the ticket is $20. Tomorrow night, the big Grand Prix night, $30. Again, for the national champions for the juniors, the ASD McClay, $10. So,
and they're stationed where you just come out, there's tickets available.
No, just come right on out and go right up to the box office and get your credit card out and bring the family and have a good old time.
Okay,
good. Yeah, and as you said, lots of big classes, and we should just talk about that Grand Prix again on Saturday night because that is the highlight of for the jumpers. Worth $250,000, which is a very nice prize.
And if you're the winner of the leading rider, you get an Audi to go home with.
And you get an Audi, my favorite car, an Audi Q5.
Yeah,
you
need to get your horse out of retirement there, Chris.
Courtesy of Audi of Lexington and Alex Poon, representing an Audi to the leading rider of the week.
Well, Audi know that they're my favorite car. I had a Q5. I love Audi. So whoever wins that is going to have a nice vehicle to drive away with, too.
Absolutely.
And also for that is a World Cup qualifier, which is really important, obviously, to international riders as well.
Absolutely.
As
you know, this is the North American League here, but you're depending on your country of origin, your points will count whatever league you're in.
Yep.
And you know, we'll take the best of the best, and they'll all end up in Holland next spring and go for World Cup finals.
Yeah, really exciting. Now, what else can people expect to do while they're out? Because you had your VIP boxes, I should say. The seats available, all the VIP boxes are there.
Yeah, 54 tables in what we call the Taylor Harris Club, and that's sort of, you know, the upscale area for those that want to do that. And, you know, if you want to nose your way in there, you might find a Bruce Springsteen or two hanging out there, and Dr. Lyons will be there, and Georgina Bloomberg, that group, they're all up there. And, or you can... go to Pierce's Place, which is the Irish pub that was here in the
building.
That's
very cool. I've been there.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty neat, too.
Yeah, open to the public.
And music playing in there, too.
Yeah, they had square dancers there yesterday. that must have been a little Alltech touch I wasn't aware of.
You didn't know Pierce was out there square
dancing.
I
didn't know that until I walked in and said, where'd this come from?
Fantastic. Well, you've got a lot to look forward to here, Mason.
Bigger and better. And, you know, we've applied for a Nations Cup for next year. Let's hope the FEI looks favorably on that.
That would be exciting.
And I've met some people in the saddle horse world, and I can tell you for pretty much 99% sure we're going to add saddle horses.
Well, I was going to say, when I looked at the pictures from 100 years ago, there was driving as part of the competition.
In fact, the oldest trophy we have in our collection was a driving trophy from 1883.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Now, was that saddlebreds at that
point? No, that was actually coaching.
Coaching. Okay.
But we're definitely going to add the saddle horse element next year. And, you know, just how much and what, I'm not exactly sure. It's a work in progress, but...
Well, we are in Kentucky.
You can, exactly. Yeah. Call it saddle horse country.
Right.
Not just thoroughbred country.
You mentioned the trophies there, Mason. In the safekeeping of Tiffany's in New York when they were shipped. I mean, huge trophies. Where are you keeping them all here?
Oh, that's a closely guarded secret.
We can't see them,
actually going to go over to the Horse Museum here at the park.
Are they?
And they're going to be on display once the Year of the Horse exhibition is out.
So they're going to go there full time?
They're going to go there full time. We're getting them hand engraved in Louisville, and they're going to live there. We only have 34 trophies with us here. There's another 100 sitting back in New York that are out of circulation that we will put back in circulation as time goes on. But I think they found a permanent home right here at the Horse Park.
Wow, that's pretty neat.
Lots going on with the show and its growth, Mason, and you've been the driving force behind it. You're going to, I should imagine, breathe a big sigh of relief on Monday that it all has found a home, it's working, and you'd have a future.
Oh, we got to regroup and move on Monday. I'm going to go shop for some real estate. Looks like I'm going to be moving here. I'm spending a lot of time in London.
We have that here. You'll be able to find it.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Mason, the very best of luck with this show. It really is great to have you here. And we're delighted to be the official radio network of the Alltech National Horse Show. You know, stop by and see us anytime. You know, we're recording every day.
I will. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Mason.
Thank you very much.
All right, Chris. Well, we're going to take a break for our sponsor here. This show is sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products, and we're going to be back in just a minute with some more fun guests here at the Alltech National Horse Show, broadcasting from the Media Center. And I think we're the only ones that get up this early, to be honest with you, because not a whole lot of media here yet. We'll be right back. Regular listeners to the show know that we love Kentucky Performance Products, and that's an easy thing to do because Kentucky Performance Products stand behind their products and they believe in them. Your complete satisfaction is guaranteed. If you are unsatisfied with any of their products, they will gladly refund your money. Does your horse or pony get fat on air alone? Is he living in a dry lot or turned out with a muzzle? Can't feed him more than a handful of grain and some hay? Then you need Microphase. Microphase is a great way to ensure your horse or pony gets all of the nutrients he needs to stay healthy without adding calories to his diet. Microphase contains the vitamins and trace minerals not found in grass or hay, and your horse will eat it right out of your hand. You can learn more about Microphase and all of the products from Kentucky Performance Products by visiting kppusa.com. That's kppusa.com. Check out Microphase. Well, hello, everybody. We're back here from the Kentucky Horse Park. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek, and I am here with Chris Stafford of the of many of the shows on the board. I can't even say them all anymore. It's like I always miss one. So we have our next guest here. Something very ironic, and Jamie, I know Jamie's out there listening because she's producing today. Something very ironic happened yesterday. We have our booth set up on the concourse upstairs, and we're beside a company that I've really never heard of, to be honest with you. And I got talking to Mike, who is from Equiday, and it's a feed company. And we got talking, and he said, I know all about you guys. And I said, how do you know about us? And he said, well, we're from Norco. You guys are in Norco, California. So, Janie, our neighbor in the booth set up right next door at this horse show is from Norco, California. Of course, all of our listeners know we're going to be heading to Norco the end of this month. So we'd like to welcome Mike. Is it D'Annunzio?
Yes, sir.
All right, Mike, and you're from Equiday.
Yes, sir. I'm actually with Canada Pet Foods. We're a holistic natural pet food company technically based out of San Luis Obispo, but our corporate offices are in Norco, California. So proud to call Norco home. It's a pretty great town to be a part of.
Well, it's so ironic that we were set up beside you. You were probably the only person in the whole building from Norco, and here we are.
Yeah, I think I am. I'm probably one of the only ones in California, too, so it's pretty cool to be here. I really love Lexington, and Alltech is just an amazing sponsor.
Well, we're looking forward to our trip at the end of the month to Norco, so and you said you might come out and join us on the recording the one morning?
Yeah. I'm in touch with Lisa all the time. She works with you guys, and she's been keeping me abreast of what's going on in Norco, and we plan on being at that location, and we actually sell all of our products through that store as well, so it's a great partnership that we have in Norco, and we're planning on.
And that's the
on,
America's yeah. Country Store?
Yeah, yes, sir. And it's a great location.
And that will be there on the 30th, recording, doing live show from 6 to 7:30 in the morning because it's Pacific time. They're going to make Jamie so happy because I have to get up early then. So we'll be out there really early at their store, recording from there. But tell us a little bit about your company and what you do. Because I can honestly say that I haven't heard of you before. Is that a surprise?
No, it's not a surprise. As far as in the horse feed industry, we're still new. We launched our product last year at WEG. So we've been an Alltech partner with our pet food line for going on 16 years.
So you have dog food has been your biggest?
Dog food is our staple business, yeah. We started as a retail feed outlet in California. and became quite large. And then with the pet food revolution of the 90s, we developed Canada Pet Foods as a holistic natural pet food to support independent retail stores. And we've grown to about 8,000 retail stores nationally, as well as in Canada and I believe 27 other countries. So it's growing leaps and bounds, and it's a pretty great company to work for.
So what makes it holistic?
It's just all natural ingredients. It's no byproducts, no preservatives, none of the bad things that horse people are looking for. It's only the best quality products we can possibly buy.
And tell us about the feed, Equiday. Is it high protein? You know, what's the story on it?
It's kind of an all-around feed. It covers all classes of horse. It's an extruded feed, so it's actually processed like pet food. So it really makes it easy on the horse's digestive system. And we use only the best quality nutrients from Alltech to try to provide the best performance possible. We're a very big fan of the Life Force product that Alltech uses, and we've tried to incorporate every single ingredient and every aspect of that product into our feed. By processing it like dog food, it's called steam extrusion. And what that does is it helps shift all that starch digestion to the horse's small intestines, so we can get just better absorption of the starches instead of having hindgut issues that are common with feeding performance horses these days. And our feed really works well from anything from a foal to a geriatric. I mean, we have horses of all ages and all classes all over the country feeding it, and it's doing very, very well.
So I assume a lot of the horses in Norco are eating this particular food.
It's starting to get around, yeah. Changing the horse owner's mind about what they feed is a challenge, but those who have found out about it and tried it are really loving the performance.
Good. Well, we appreciate you being here. We are looking forward to being out there. We have never been there. We adopted Norco as our hometown. And when we first started the show, I mean, within the first week, we had a guest on from Norco, and then we were like, oh, we love these people. And we've had guests on ever since then, but we've never been there, and that's why they're bringing us out, because they really want to show us how cool the town is.
They're going to give you the key to the city.
No, but I think we're going to be in the parade, which is pretty cool, the Christmas parade.
Yeah, the Parade of Lights is a great, great event. We're glad to be a part of that as well. Hopefully we're having a float for the first time.
We can crash your float.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, that'd be awesome. I don't know if the shop's going to have it finished by then, but hopefully we'll have a pretty cool stuff.
Watch you offer here. You never know with Glenn.
That's fine. I love to take him on a ride down Main Street, too. It's a good time. It's a good time. Plenty of places to stop and enjoy some local fare.
Well, this sounds terrific. Thank you so much, Mike, for being here. We really appreciate it, and good luck.
Thank you very much.
Well, another question. Where can people find your food?
Locally here in Lexington, you can get it at Quality Feed in Versailles. In Norco, you can get it at America's Country Store or Linda's Feed. And you can go to equidayfeed.com, and we have a dealer locator. Or you can go to canadaday.com as well, because any of our pet food retailers can actually get our horse feed within a few days. It's very, very simple to get. And honestly, if you go to any of our websites as well as Facebook, you can request a buy one, get one free coupon, which is a very, very big deal. That gets you about 2 months feed trial for the cost of one bag. So it's a pretty good bonus to try our new product.
Any show specials if people are coming out to the Alltech National Horse Show?
I'm stealing a bag tonight when he's not there. That's my show special.
Yeah. Well, actually, if you do come by the show, we're raffling off 6 months free products. So we're giving away a 6 months free diet for one horse. And then, like I said, you can go to any of our websites and get a buy one, get one free coupon, which is pretty unheard of right now. So
good for you.
Doing what we can to help the horse economy.
I love that.
And I want to say that's spelled EQUIDAE.
Correct. That's the family of horse. Our company is based a lot around family, and Canada is the family of dog.
Oh, that's true.
Felidae is our cat food, family of cat, and Equiday is family of horse.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Mike. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
We'll
great
see you
show. Great
the rest
show.
Of the
we
weekend
love it.
Here.
Thank
right
you,
on.
Mike.
All right. And I think our next guest just walked in here. We're going to get her to come over here and sit down. Cheryl, are you ready? Oh, good. Well, you had this person had quite a night last night, because she was in. You were actually doing one of the parties, and let's introduce. It's Cheryl from the Equine Aid Foundation. Did I get that right?
It's close.
Close
enough. It's Cheryl Kursar. I'm with the Equestrian Aid Foundation.
Oh, I always do equine.
Well, you
do
just
that.
Doing
Equiday.
You put
too many
equine.
The Equestrian Aid Foundation.
Yes, we help the people.
That's right.
The horse people.
I met you first down in Wellington, I think, when we were down there for another event. And, I'm really excited that you're here to tell us a little bit about what you guys do. So for this audience, tell us a little bit about the great work you do for the riders. So many rescue organizations and other things are out there for the benefit of the horses, but not so much for the riders. And so tell us about that.
Okay. Well, I like to say we're kind of rescue for horse people. We help equestrians, horsemen, and equine-related professionals, farriers, veterinarians, people who make their living from the horse industry, professionals, amateurs, during a dire time of need. And usually that's caused through a catastrophic illness or injury. So we're very inclusive. It covers all injuries and all illnesses. So we also help people who have been maybe injured in a non-horse related accident. So perhaps a person who makes their living in the horse industry that has a severe car accident, we can assist those people.
Oh, I didn't realize
well.
That. I thought it was only injured while riding, actually.
Actually, no.
Okay.
It's really inclusive. And we started out a little over 15 years ago. And we started out as the Equestrian AIDS Foundation, and we assisted equestrians with HIV/AIDS. And about five, six years ago, they decided that we just weren't doing enough. There were so many other people that needed our help, and expanded the scope and the mission and changed the name to the Equestrian AIDS Foundation, and now help all illnesses and injuries.
That's awesome. What's your role, actually, with the organization?
I'm the managing director.
So a full-time job, then?
Yes,
I'm
pretty busy.
Lots of fundraising involved.
Yeah, and you were here last night. You actually had a party or something here last night.
We did. We launched our endowment program. It's called the Charlie Weaver Legacy Fund. It's been named after Charlie, who's very, you know, most people know, especially in this community. He probably was the top winning hunter rider at the National Horse Show. So it seemed only natural that we launched the legacy program here. So it is an endowment fund, and it's really to ensure that the Equestrian Aid Foundation survives for years and years to come, decades to come, to continue assisting equestrians and horsemen that need our help.
Now, when you say helping, are you helping financially? Are you providing group insurance? What do you guys do?
We provide financial assistance, and it's all based on criteria. We have a review committee based of board members that review each individual instance. And we provide surprisingly, a lot of emotional support for a lot of these people. I'm sure you're aware that horse people are pretty strong-willed, independent people.
No, I hadn't noticed. I'm not married to one of those.
and they really don't, most do not, they're not looking for a handout. They really aren't. And they're people who have gotten to the end of their rope pretty much, and in most cases. And we help them get through that time of need, help them cope with it.
Of course, people do have two things when they're injured, and I know because my wife's been injured enough, I know this. And, you know, we all have friends that have been injured. Anybody who rides horses gets injured at one point or another. And you not only do you have to worry about the financial end because you're not able to make your living to do what you do for a living, but you also have the psychological end. A horse person that can't ride is a miserable horse person.
Absolutely.
And so you got both of those things together, and it is kind of depressing at times.
It can be extremely depressing. And we have recipients who will never ride again, some who will never walk again.
Right.
And those people need to know that there's other people out there who care about them and are there for them when they need them. So sometimes we provide a lot more than just the financial. We have a wonderful director of grant recipients who works with the people, and they call her at all hours of the day and night. And sometimes they just call to talk. Yeah. Sometimes they just need a friend.
Yes, need those kind of resources.
Right.
Well, you know, I'm glad you guys are there. I'm actually kind of surprised there wasn't something like that from, you know, 50 years ago in this industry, but you're filling a need that it is there. So, and how can people learn more about the Equestrian Aid Foundation?
You can go to our website. It's www.equestrianaidfoundation.org.
Okay. So it's That's
probably
name,
the
nice
easiest way. We also have a Facebook page, so you can find us through Facebook.
Course. Yeah. Everybody has a
Of course.
Just search for a question aid foundation.
Exactly. Okay. And we have a Twitter. Our Twitter account is Ride4Hope. Ride for Hope. And the one other point I just want to make is that often, you know, even those people, equestrians, horsemen, et cetera, that have insurance, so many times, and a lot of times we don't realize this until we're in a situation where we've had an accident or have an injury, an illness, that insurance only goes so far. And a lot of times there's gaps that the insurance doesn't cover. And sometimes we can come in as the Equestrian Aid Foundation and assist people by providing a service that they can't get through their insurance. Sometimes that's an alternative therapy. What we provide each recipient is not the same. It really depends on a case-by-case basis.
So it's very individual.
So it is very individual, and in some cases it may be that we're helping someone who has a lot of pain get treatment that they need that to help with that quality of life issue.
Fantastic. Full-time job for you then.
Busy job.
Yes.
Busy job.
Well, and I think everybody knows there's one example of insurance is not covering everything that our audience at least is familiar with, and that's Courtney King Dye, who is, again, you know, her insurance has run out in many of the treatments that she needs, and, you know, she's out with some help trying to raise money to help out with that again. And it's just, it does not cover everything when you're talking about catastrophic accidents like that.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely.
Well, good luck, and
thank
good
you.
To see you again, and I'm so glad you could stop by and share it with everybody.
Well, thank you for having me.
I won't get the name wrong. Now, it's the Horse Aid Foundation, right?
We'll get him right.
There are some wonderful horses.
You know,
that is not who we are.
If I say it 100 more times, I might remember it. And my co-host, Jamie, is now just rolling on the floor because she knows I never remember any of the names. So thank you very much. I appreciate that. Chris, let's take a little break here for our song of the day.
And I don't have to sing.
No, and neither does Jamie, thank God.
Oh, so. I was hoping that Jamie was going to sing for us. You know, she's a silent voice on the horses in the morning.
Yeah, I think I'm just being typed in that. Oh, she just wrote, thank God. All right, let's take a break here. We have a little Jared Rogerson for you this morning. It's called Ride My Horse More, and we're going to be back in a couple of minutes with some more guests here from the Alltech National Horse Show.
City smoke in the air, you can't see it from anywhere. There's a million people driving around, going nowhere. Buildings grew up all around me, but I still got a painted pony. Gonna give her a job, 'cause she's fat and bored. And I'm gonna ride my horse more. Well, I love to drive my truck. The open road feels pretty good. But just because you can, doesn't mean that you always should. I can hardly breathe. Man, this is killing me. I'm gonna ride my horse more. Mother Nature, she's been beat up. I'd say she's been abused. Now even the ocean's black and blue. Gasoline just turns to haze, and my wallet's on empty anyway. Holding the reins is something I can afford, so I'm gonna ride my horse more. Well, I love to drive my truck. The open road feels pretty good. But just because you can, doesn't mean that you always should. Hardly breathe. Man, this is killing me. my horse more. Let's ride.
Hello, Chris Stafford back with you from the Altec National Horse Show as a guest co-host today, joining my friend Glenda Keek and actually sitting across the table recording a show. So nice to see each other, Glenda.
I know. We never get to do this.
I know. We get to tease each other and then, you know, see the grimaces as well. Well, we're here as the official radio network of the Altec National Horse Show. As Glenda's mentioned, I host a few of the other shows here on the network, one of which is the Jumping Radio Show. And one of my guests has been on the show before, down the line, over the phone, is a well-known show jumper in this country now, and probably the tallest show jumper in the whole of the United States, if not on the international circuit.
He does not ride 15-hand horses.
No, if he does, he has to tuck up.
Yeah, he wears roller skates.
And that is Charlie Jane. Charlie, well, first of all, welcome back to the Horse Radio Network.
Oh, thank you very much.
And welcome to the Horses in the Morning Show, coming to you live from Lexington, Kentucky.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, nice to have you here. Now, you've had a couple of big classes already this week, Charlie, and you have been smoking. Two different horses, but you came out and put your foot on the gas there, and you were going for it both times.
Oh, I mean, both classes have been very, very competitive, and I've had the pleasure of going later in the class and knowing what I've had to beat, and I don't like giving up without a fight.
No, you didn't. And, you know, we mentioned how tall you? How tall actually are you?
6'4", 6'4".
6'4",
yeah.
Without shoes.
Without. Yeah.
So when you get on, I mean, the horse you were riding last night, you really have to tuck into a little. Like
yeah,
that,
she's 15-1.
Oh, really? Yeah. I was joking. But
no, I know.
Yeah, she's a small mare, but she gives it all for me every time, so I couldn't ask for much more.
Well, let's talk about the two horses you have here this week, Charlie, just the two.
Okay, my first horse that I showed in the first class, the speed class, on Wednesday night, that's Waldman Z. That's a relatively new ride for me. He's an 8-year-old. Purchased him this summer when I was competing in Europe about 2 months ago, and this is only my third show with him. But he's been great. Indoor circuit, I showed him at Harrisburg, and he was second in the big jump there in the 40,000. And then, like I said, this is my third show, and I like going fast, and I went late in the class, and he was really good. And then the other horse I have here is Athena, which is my more experienced horse. She's my top mount. And she's 11 years old now, and I competed with her this year in Europe. I did the World Cup Finals, and I did the first four Super Leagues with her.
Right, yeah, you've been really busy in Europe. It's a nice feeling to be on that grown-up team, isn't
it? Oh, yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Well, these two horses, as you said, you're going to be very competitive with them, even though one's a rookie for you. I mean, to come straight into the big league with a horse that, what you said, third show
yeah.
And be competitive, obviously a horse that fits for you.
Yeah, like I said, this one's a little younger, but has done the scene. I bought him in Europe, and he was being competitive in the meter 40, meter 45 section, actually with another American rider. So I kind of stepped in. Marilyn Little, Meredith.
Oh, she had him, did she? Yeah, Marilyn's been a regular on the jumping radio.
Oh, great. Great.
Yeah, because she's done the switch. We're waiting
with
for you.
With the venting,
to do that.
Yeah. I don't have the cojones for that.
All right, you're jumping on these big jumps out here. It's no different. You're just going faster.
The difference is these fall down.
Well, you have the qualifications height wise, you know, because Mark Todd and William Fox Pitt, they're both up there with you.
Yeah.
So, I think that would be pretty neat.
But then you'd have to learn dressage, too, and that's a whole other
problem. That's a lot of work.
The flatting is easy, as you call it.
Exactly.
That's easy. Now, how many times have you ridden at the National, Charlie?
The National? at Syracuse, I rode in it twice, so this would be my third time competing.
Third time here. Now,
yeah.
Obviously, you know the horse park.
You've
been jumped outdoors here. And
yeah.
How about this arena? It looks like it's riding big for the size of the arena. It really walking those courses, and it's riding really nice.
Oh, yeah, really nice. I think Richard Jeffrey did a nice job of using the ring because we're coming from Washington, D.C., which is the smallest arena and the skinniest that you ride in for the indoor circuit here in North America. But, the ring, I think they said it was modeled after Las Vegas' World Cup final ring, but it rides nice. It doesn't ride small.
I think it's about 45 feet longer than Vegas, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it rides very nice. And Richard, again, did a nice job. And I think last night even the flow was a little better even than the first night.
Yes, you didn't have any rollbacks or any alternate.
Yeah,
distances.
I mean, you didn't have the speed in the
first
leg of it. So.
Right, and that was a big course that rode well. He really put it up there for you on the first class, though. That's a welcome stakes.
The welcome stake for being a speed class,
yeah.
It was a solid 150.
It was.
And I thought it'd be a little more generous, but he knew what he wanted.
All of those oxes were 150. And even getting to number two, he was like, okay.
Yeah.
Pay attention, guys, because
exactly.
We're not giving this prize money away.
No. Yeah, there was a couple of oxers stuck in the turn that were a solid 150, and they rode big.
But what we're hearing, Charlie, is the footing is superb, and that's the most important thing for you, for these horses.
Yeah, they really do an excellent job. I mean, it's the same footing they use in the WEG, that they use in the WEG outside, and, really nice.
Yeah, lovely. And a nice show, building a new atmosphere, of course, in this new venue. How is it for you guys in the stabling? I'm hearing good things about the space out there and the accommodations for you and the horses.
Well, like I said, they're really trying really hard, and they're really being horse people. Like, if you go out there in an hour, you'll see three different middle schools that are there with 30 kids with UK shirts on. Like, they're trying to get the community involved. You know, that's the first step, I think, to growing the national here in Kentucky. And I think they have the right idea because we're in the horse capital of the world. I mean, we have the horse country every. So they're really trying to get the crowd behind it. You know, like anything, Rome isn't built in a day. So it'll take a couple years to build. But I really do think they're going to get a crowd here eventually.
A little easier driving in and out in the morning than New York was.
Just a little bit.
Horse Syracuse. Now, in terms of obviously your schedule when you're at a show like this, you have two horses to ride, so it's a bit of a picnic, really. What else do you do? You go to the gym, you keep your fitness up?
Yeah, you know, in the morning I wake up, I go to the gym, I make a couple phone calls, check my emails, and then actually I have two sisters here that are competing as well that were competing the last day in the 100 division. They have 8 horses here, so I kind of check in and help them with a little bit, and they help me at night. So
yeah, they're really into the 100s, we should remind you. I mean, if you listen to the Jumping Radio Show, you'll know a lot more about Charlie Jane and his family. Big family of horsemen and women, as you say. Hunters are a tradition. You grew up in the Hunters, didn't you?
Correct. I grew up small pony hunters when I was 8 years old, and then I kind of did everything when I was in the juniors. So
are your sisters going to shift over to these jumpers? Are they going to give you a run for your money here?
No, they do their jumpers as well, just not as much in the big scene yet, but maybe someday.
Right. Now, how many horses do you have in total, Charlie, right now in work?
Myself, I think around 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so after National, will you get a bit of a rest now before WEF starts up and you go down to Florida?
Yeah, we kind of have one more World Cup show that comes up at the beginning of December in Wellington, and then the horses will kind of have a rest and they'll start up their long circuit in January.
Yeah, and of course there's those pesky little selection trials.
Right. I think the end of March, yep.
Yeah, so obviously they're on the horizon. Actually.
Yeah, they're probably the biggest goal for me this next season, yeah.
Thinking about London, huh?
Yeah, I'm trying.
Yeah. Have to set your sights, don't you?
Exactly.
So having a lot of fun here, apart from riding the horses, you and
your... Oh, yeah. I mean, the food's great. I like downtown Lexington's a very nice city. And like I said, the people are very friendly here. Yeah, I'm loving it so far. And I only live 6 hours from here.
Oh, that's nice.
A little closer than...
than you usually are.
Than usual.
Terrific. Well, now, who are you going to ride in the rest of the classes here?
Tonight, the speed class, I'll ride Waldman Lee.
Yep.
And then tomorrow night in the World Cup, I'll do Athena.
Athena again.
Yep.
Yeah, you would expect her to turn it on for you.
Yep.
That will be very, very competitive, very hot class.
Oh, it'll be a very, very big, too, I think.
Okay,
very
so
big.
The total prize money is $250,000. You could use a part of that right now?
Oh, I could use
Christmas
that.
Is coming.
Yeah. Christmas is coming, yeah.
Do you need a new iPad? Or
maybe an iPhone?
But not forgetting the Audi car that goes with it.
That's right.
You could drive that 6 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So lots to look forward to, and obviously supporting, as you said, the rest of the family while you're here, and hopefully having a good time.
Oh, no, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh,
we
thank you.
We appreciate you being here, and we appreciate you helping Chris out on the jumping show every once in a while.
Yeah.
You bet. Well, thanks again, Charlie. Great to see you in person. Actually, it's really nice to actually get the opportunity.
I know, get a visual.
Exactly. All right. Well, good luck tonight and tomorrow night, of course, with the big one. And for those long-term goals, which we won't hype up too much, you know, we'll keep them in addition.
All right.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us,
All right.
Charlie.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, Chris, you know, how I have a question for you. How long have you ever attended the National before? I assume you have.
No, I have not.
Really?
See,
well, that's one of the shows in the world you haven't attended.
Well, it is. You know, when I was based in Europe and I was doing jumpers in Europe, you know, way back, this was a prestigious part of the North American circuit. You had the National, you had Harrisburg, you had Toronto, the Washington. That was the North American circuit, which we talked about on the Jumping Radio Show as being the most prestigious, you know, series of shows in North America that the Europeans, if you've got a ticket to go to the North American series in the fall, that was the ticket. And National, you know, has such a high profile. As we know, it's started, what, 1883? I mean, it has such a cachet with it. So I think with Mason and his team and the Alltech team over time, they're going to build this up to something really getting back on the map. And as I said when we were talking to Mason, it takes a while for it to build its own personality again in a new venue, because the venue makes part of that personality, of course.
And they've had a little bit of a struggle changing venues over the last 20 years.
Yes.
So it needed to find a permanent home.
Yeah. And there's a lot of things to do here while there people are in the horse park. As Charlie said, it's a lovely area to be here, and Lexington's a great place to be. But just right here in the horse park, there's so much going on, and one of which is this fabulous new exhibition, The Horse, in the International Museum of the Horse.
I haven't seen it yet.
It is stunning. It's stunning. And I'm waving to Charlie as he leaves to get a chance to go and see the exhibition, because it is a stunning exhibition and wonderful interaction, you know, big screen interaction. You can see the internal organs of a horse, and you wonder why and how he gets colic. You've got, I mean, it's a terrific graphics. There's about, I think, 5 skeletons. There's artifacts from some of the most prestigious museums in the world, from Europe, it's been on loan from the National Museum, of course, in Washington, and they asked it for it to come here and spend some time here. So it's going to be here through till early April, and I would encourage anybody, if you're anywhere near the Kentucky Horse Park, to come and take a look at this. It's an extraordinary exhibition, and you'll get a chance to go, Glenn.
Yes, definitely. I'm going to definitely get over there soon, I hope.
Yes, absolutely.
And I know some of the, you know, we announced yesterday that there are some of the local farms and things that are embracing the fact that we have a lot going on here in Lexington and Kentucky this weekend. Of course, we have the horse show we're at now, and then we have the Breeders' Cup this afternoon and tomorrow. And
that little pony race.
Yeah, the little pony race, yeah. And I know that we had some listeners that said they were going to be coming down for the Breeders' Cup and then heading over here after on Sunday. So I think we're going to see a crowd of people that were at the Breeders' Cup on Saturday coming over here on Sunday and watching the McLay.
That's fun. And, you know, it's unfortunate the Grand Prix on Saturday night clashes with the Breeders' Cup race. And there's 2 days, as you know, of the Breeders' Cup starting today as well for the fillies. It is such a prestigious event in itself, but fortunately it's close enough. You'd hope. I know I saw some people here in the media who were here to do the Breeders' Cup, and we're actually going to be heading back down there today and tomorrow. And you know, it's unfortunate the clashes, but as you know, the Breeders' Cup rotates, so this is not going to happen every year.
Nope, it'll be back in California, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's where it'll be next.
Absolutely.
And we have a couple of more guests coming on today. We're waiting for them to show up here shortly.
We do. And, you know, one of the fun things about being on location at a show is you've done a few times now, and you're going to be doing in this little place called Norco. We are so excited about this. You know, I get to go to some of the horse shows and the events, but you get to go to Norco.
Yeah, and we're pretty much just having fun.
I know. It's me that has to do the work. You know, it's funny when you – I don't come on the show very often because I'm far too serious, you know. Take the sport
we
far too
seriously.
We keep
her with the serious shows. Although when you come on our show, your light side comes out. You know, it's something we don't see very often. But when you come on our show, it just seems there's a switch.
Yeah, well, you know, I know I can just fool around with you guys. And I like to tease Jamie. You know, I love to tease Jamie. any opportunity I
could
get.
Half as bad as Alan when he comes on. He just terrorizes.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. Hey, we did make an announcement yesterday while we're waiting. We'll get off the topic of this horse show for a couple of minutes. We got the press release. I haven't really had a chance to talk to you about it. The Queen's Jubilee is next year, and
that's
they're
right.
planning a huge horse extravaganza.
Big hoo-ha.
So now, have you ever, I'm assuming you lived in London for a period
in England,
of time.
Yeah,
yeah, in England. Did you ever get down and see any of the royal parades and any of that stuff?
You know, I think you know me well enough now to know that I'm not one for crowds.
Well, there would be a few
there. I tend to avoid crowds if I can. Those, you know, like the Trooping of the Colour and the Diamond, the Jubilee. Now, which Jubilee was it? A while ago, the 50th.
Yeah, I remember sort of
that
watching that on TV.
That was a big deal.
Yeah.
Yes, because they really do pull out all the stops. And, you know, one of the things, as many people around the world know, that the Queen is very fond of is horses.
Yeah.
And she's very knowledgeable, too. And I had the opportunity to meet her without any protocol or fanfare once. I was riding in Windsor Royal Park. Do you want to hear that story?
Yeah. How many people get to ride and meet the Queen?
Well, it was fun. I was with another rider. We were preparing for an Irish three-day event, and it was a particularly hot summer, and the footing was so hard that we couldn't gallop on the grass. So my friend, Princess Anne was competing at the time, the Princess Royal. She was really at the top of her sport in those days. And she was friends, and we had asked, could we gallop, use the sand gallop at Windsor Park, where Windsor Castle is. She said, fine. So we went over there.
That'd be one of the Queen's houses.
That'd be one of her cottages, yes, just outside London. That's right. Where this Jubilee celebration is going to be held, it's going to be out at the horse park, at the park. And so we had worked the horses, and we saw across the distance, just about 500 or 600 yards away, a couple of riders, and they went past. And after a few minutes, we just carried on. We didn't know who it was. After a few minutes, this Land Rover comes back out towards us, and we thought, oh, gosh, we're in trouble, you know? But it turned out it was the Queen on her own. She gets out of
driving
the Land Rover, gets out of the Land Rover, takes off her headscarf, because, you know, she only wears a headscarf for riding. And she comes over, and there's just the two of us on our horses, not knowing whether we should curtsy or how we acknowledge the Queen when it's so there's no protocol, no security, nobody with her. So it was one of those oh moments, what do we do? And, gosh, she was so friendly. She chatted about the horses, what we were doing. We told her which event we were going to and that we were preparing for this Irish event. And she was so chatty, wanted to know about the horses. And she understood, you know, the footing was so bad that we needed to use the sand gallops here in Windsor Park. And it was a wonderful opportunity to meet the Queen without any of the protocol. And that was a great opportunity. So the Jubilee next year in Windsor Park is going to be bringing horse organizations and traditional groups from all over the world to celebrate her reign as queen for 60 years.
And there's probably nothing that she would rather have than this horse event.
No.
It had to be a horse event.
Absolutely. We're talking about horse events. The master of Kentucky Horse Park has just arrived, so we'd better behave now. John Nicholson, executive director of
the
Kentucky Horse Park.
Yeah, but I bet he'd never met the Queen while out riding.
Do you ride, John?
I ride some, but not as well.
Pictures of him riding last year in preparation for the World Equestrian Games. You went out on a ride. Was it endurance?
Rode the endurance course. Let's
just say, walked the endurance course.
Rode part of the endurance course.
At a nice, sedate walk.
At a nice, sedate walk.
It was a test drive, was it?
You know, there was three or four of us that went out. And it was it involved the media a little bit, which was kind of stressful because we're going in and out of creeks and all this with a photographer on a pickup truck behind.
Oh no! So if you fell off, he was getting a picture.
Ready to photograph whatever calamity occurred. So while it was enjoyable, and it was enjoyable, I was very very happy when it was over and the photographer went home.
It wasn't one of those occasions where whatever happens there stays there, though.
It was not. It wanted to be shared with the world. So that was a great story, Chris. And I've been to Windsor to the European Championships and then to Ascot. And that's my time I've seen the Queen. I didn't have the intimate, friendly little chat that you had. But, you know, it is neat to go to the races there because she is very accessible.
Very knowledgeable.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and she's there and she knows all, you know, the owners and the horses, and she's going around.
So she makes the rounds there?
She makes the rounds the owner's paddock and all the horses. And, of course, she's an owner herself. And you could tell and clearly with your story that, you know, horses are what animates her.
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah, and that's right. We've got a Jubilee coming up. And you know, she, of course, has been to Lexington before. And I think in 84, you know, we have the Queen Elizabeth II Cup at Keeneland every year. But, you know, we've had Prince Philip here. We've had
Princess Royal, yeah.
She's been here on a number of occasions and opened our exhibit.
Yeah.
I have to tell you a quick, another queen story, is that when we...
Not a dressage queen.
No. This is an entirely different queen. I could tell you some of those stories, too. Got a few of those.
Are they fit for broadcast?
Probably not.
Even if we're satellite or whatever. But when Bill Cook, you know, who's run, you know, is head of our museum and has been for 30 years, after the China exhibit, we wanted to do an exhibition on the role of the horse in British history. And our thought was at the time, and we're, you know, we hadn't taken leave of our senses, we really wanted to get the Royal State Coach over here.
Yes, I've heard the story.
And actually, all the state coaches. We thought, what a wonderful thing to get all the state coaches. And only now do we really appreciate what an absurd idea was. But... her, you know, she found out about it. You know, we went to the equerry.
Oh, really?
Oh, and we went and viewed them, and he said, "Now, what do you have in mind here?" We said, "Well, all of these coaches, including the Royal State Coach that's 300 years old, we want them. You know, we want them to bring them to the States, and we'll get them back to you at some point." But I remember he did turn an eyebrow, and the. So
arrogant American.
British understatement, right?
He promised that he would ask Her Majesty, because they're hers, and he did. Later, our guest curator met with her and Prince Philip at Windsor, and actually the meeting was with Prince Philip, and Her Majesty came by with her corgis, just happened to wander through, he introduced our guest curator, and she said, "Oh, yes, this is the group from Kentucky that wants all of our carriages." as it turns out, we got no carriages.
Wasn't bad enough we lost the war all those years ago. Now you want our carriages.
We don't, no carriages or coaches or anything like that. But we got her attention, and we were able to get some wonderful, wonderful donations from the royal family for that exhibition, which turned out to be very successful. So, you know, we have a certain kinship with Her Majesty, and so we're all going to celebrate.
A mutual respect, yes.
Or at least it's respect from us. It may be amusement from her.
That's funny.
Well, John, we're here at the Altec National Horse Show for the Kentucky Horse Park to welcome this show as a permanent home, we hope, for.
That certainly seems to be everyone's sentiment, that this is going to be the new permanent home, and that's... it seems to be the consensus and unanimous hope of people here, and I'm not sure what you're seeing or some of the conversations you're having, but our feeling is that there's real happiness, and there seems to be a real sense of optimism for the future, that the National Horse Show has been breathed into new life and is really going to be something that people can look forward to for the next several generations, and kind of a return to glory of the glory years of the National Horse Show. And that's what we've tried to accomplish here, and I think we've got off to a good start.
Well, I know it was 2 years ago, and probably more than that, John, that you and I had a conversation about this building being built and what you were hoping to achieve in accommodating new and different shows and bringing shows to the horse show that, you know, maybe they had a previous home, but this would be a venue for so much diversity for the horse world. And with having the Altec National Horse Show, you've really achieved this. It's probably going to be one of your crown jewels, isn't it?
I think it will be one of the institutions that, again, like you say, enjoy a new home. And it'll be one of those things that I think everybody in our community, in our equestrian community, will feel a sense of ownership for and concern for and participation in. So, I agree. It's very exciting. It's what we had in mind when we built this arena to do a lot of different things. But certainly in the back of our minds, we knew that we would have the capability of hosting a great institution and a great tradition like the National Horse Show.
Well, something new to the horse park, new event with a new venue, is going to take a while to find its legs and build its own personality. And you know, the numbers are going to increase. We know that people that typically have not made the horse park the destination for a lot of the regular summer shows. It's been hard to get people to come out. But I think with something as big as this and with the names that you have, you've got the top riders from overseas as well. We talked to Mason about that. And you're going to be bringing, or the organizers are going to be bringing more different types of horses, the saddlebreds, the carriages. And it's going to develop, you know, not only is it going to grow, but it's going to grow widthways as well, isn't it? So you're going to be able to attract a public that isn't just interested in jumpers and hunters.
You make a good point, Chris. That is very much correct. And I like the way you said that it's not only going to grow in the length of time that the event, I think it'll return to 8 or 9 days in a few years, if not even sooner than that. But it's going to encompass saddlebreds and perhaps coaching and return to its glory that way, but probably do some things even more than that. So it will become, you know, that festival that certainly we enjoyed during the All-Tech World Equestrian Games. And so, you know, we're off to a good start. It clearly has been embraced by the equestrian community. It will be increasingly embraced, I think, by the public at large as we go forward.
And we should also remind everybody of all the other things you can do when you're in the Kentucky Horse Park in November. I mentioned the wonderful exhibition. I just promoted that a few moments ago before you arrived, John,
That
is absolutely fabulous. Glenn is going over there to see it as soon as I let him loose in the horse park. And that in itself is just, it's a destination, you know, and then you could, oh, by the way, stop by the National Horse Show as well. But you've got a lot going on here for visitors.
Well, we're very excited about the horse exhibition. It's, you know, world class. It was a kind of a collaboration with the American Museum of Natural History in the Kentucky Horse Park. And it's unprecedented. And thank you for promoting it. And it is, again, one more value-added thing that makes having a major equestrian event at the horse park even more than that.
And, you know, the horse park does things for locals, too, that they look forward to every year. And you probably have more locals come out to the horse park for what I'm about to talk about than anything else. We come every year. We go out and we have dinner and we have a couple of drinks. And then we come out to the horse park for Southern Lights. We love doing that. We go, we do camel rides after, and we go inside, and we do a whole thing every year. And it's just so cool.
Well, it's now a holiday tradition.
Yeah.
In the Bluegrass. It's what you do. And
describe it to people.
Well, it's about 4 miles of driving through the Kentucky Horse Park in the evening between Thanksgiving and
New Year's. How many miles?
About 4 miles.
Is it
really? You mean I walk 4 miles around this park during WAG to get back and forth every day seven times?
Well, you probably walk less than that. Because it's a winding, long and winding road. But there's millions of lights and countless displays. And it's now, and it's, I'm afraid to say, it's in its 18th year now. So it's really become something that's on people's calendar now as part of Christmas. And I think of the kids and even my own children who, when they think of the holidays and all those wonderful traditions for kids of all ages, that's a very important part of it around here.
Oh, we don't have kids, and we get our friends together and we come out every year.
For kids of all ages.
John goes around having
they have, and it is true, you have displays and lights. And
then you come
just
inside and it's cider, or you know,
you have the Christmas tree set up in there in the museum area, and you have the trains in the basement.
Trains, which I really like.
Yeah, we go down there every time.
Kids of all ages.
Kids of all ages. The Santa Claus comes
every petting
day.
Zoo. Yeah,
petting zoo, and they have reindeer, and the music is all there. So, and that's coming up here just a matter of a couple
starts
of weeks.
Starts in 2 weeks, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's extraordinary, you know, when you drive around the horse park, you said 4 miles of driving around to see the southern lights. I, you know, I watch the lights go up as you do every year, and you wonder how long is it going to take them and how much electricity did that involve? I mean, it's a huge operation to go around putting them all up and then dismantling them. And
it is. It is a huge operation. Last year was the year that gave us all butterflies because we usually start in mid-September. Yeah. And, of course, last year with the World
Okay, everybody, think about that. They yeah. start putting up these lights in mid-September, so they're ready by Thanksgiving.
Right. It takes that, they're heavy. They're heavier than they look. And, you know, then there's the planning of what's, you know, where is Pinocchio going to go here? It's, you know,
Dumbo. Does it change much each year?
It changes every year. And it's always a healthy debate among, you know, the initiated Southern Lights leadership about what goes where. You know, a debate that I'm happy not to be a part of. and yet it just takes that.
We will all fight over the stupidest little things.
seemingly. And to get them up in time. Well, last year the World Games didn't end until October 10th, mm-hmm. and it was a Herculean effort that year to get all the lights up in less than half the time it normally takes.
And it was still good. We were here.
Yeah, still good.
How many people would come through on a good year, John, to see the lights?
About, I would say 120,000.
Wow. And you're all in your cars. You stay in your car.
About 30,000 cars.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what the weather's doing.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. Some people like it a little wintry.
Yeah. And we've been out here on some cold nights for that.
And you turn your car radio station to a certain, and then the Christmas music comes through to kind of synchronize with the lights, and it's really neat. And it's like I said, it's an institution now. It's something that's expected. If we ever dared not do it one year,
you never revolt.
We would be the Grinch that stole Southern Lights. So, we will do that.
Whose idea was it, John? It started 18 years ago. So who was behind it?
A wonderful lady named Linda Green. And I'll plug Green's Toyota here locally. Mm-hmm. And it was her idea, and it was a tenacious undertaking. You know, because it's easy to talk about, oh, we should have a Christmas light display and people could drive through it. That's easier said than actually accomplished.
Somebody's got to build all those.
And to go and find where these displays are, to put the initial funding together, to get the initial sponsors. And then once it gets going, it takes on a life of its own. Yeah. But she was the...
Not to mention buying about 4 miles of extension cords. You probably own more extension cords than anybody in the country.
Yeah, I think of A Christmas Story, the movie, when you plug in the lights in and everything's plugged. You know, I think the electrical inspectors made sure we're a little bit better than that.
No Tim Taylor light display here.
It's helped our. You think about it, horse shows require a lot of infrastructure,
mm-hmm.
and as the years have gone by, we've added to infrastructure for our horse shows, but we've also added infrastructure in terms of electricity for Southern Lights, and then they end up helping each other as we do more and more things in more and more different locations here. So we're wired, in other words.
You are thoroughly wired. Well, the Alltech National Horse Show here in the Alltech Arena is going to be wired for the next few days, and hopefully the crowds will build up for the big, getting towards the big classes, the big weekend. John, what would you say to anyone that's thinking of coming to the horse park?
Well, you're in for not only a treat, but you're a participant in history. Because I think that generations from now, people will want to know what that first year in Kentucky was like. Just like we were having a lot of fun mm-hmm. examining 1883 and what all was happening, I think that in the future, our children and children's children and their children are gonna be fascinated by what was it like when it first found its new Kentucky home.
And your small boys will be able to remember the first time they were here.
I made sure that they were here, and I think in their own way they sense that they're part of something special.
Yeah, terrific. All right,
well,
John.
Thank you so much, John. It's good to see you again. We haven't talked as much now that the WAG's over.
Well, we're going to have to fix that.
I know. I was just going to have to come up. We did a show. We did. I think we came over and did a live show at your office the one morning. Remember that?
I do remember that.
Yeah, we'll have to do that again.
Fun.
Let's do that again sometime.
I would enjoy that very much.
Well, have him
co-host. See you.
When Jamie's out someday, I'll go over to his office, and you can co-host the morning show.
There you go.
Oh, I'd like that.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
We wouldn't need a guest. John and I could fill an hour and a half.
There you go.
I need to punch up my resume. So that would be good.
Thanks, John.
John, always great to see you. Thank you very much.
Good to see you as well. Look forward to visiting with you again.
Absolutely. Thanks to John Nicholson, the Executive Director of the Kentucky Horse Park, welcoming him, of course, to the Altec National Horse Show, where Horses in the Morning is broadcasting live from the show here, which gets underway with the Hunters in the morning, and then we have the Jumpers in the late afternoon, and then the evening performance. Lots of big classes, and it's
like
fun to be the official radio network of the Altec National Horse Show. How about that?
Jamie just typed, you keep trying to get rid of me. So.
Oh, Jamie.
Poor Jamie.
Jamie, no, not at all. No, this is a fleeting visit, Jamie. Don't worry. I'm keeping the seat warm for you and expect you to be back here on Monday morning, bright and chirpy.
We do have a sponsor for this half hour, and that is Pocket Stable. You know, Pocket Stable is that application that you need for your iPhone, and I'm sure that all the grooms out here in the barns outside of here, 800 horses, could use Pocket Stable. They could use it to keep track of all of their all of their farrier visits and their veterinary visits. You can keep track of everything on Pocket Stable. It'll give you reminders when all of those things come due, when the dentist is supposed to arrive. And you can do all of that on the iPhone app very cheaply, $3.99 it costs to buy the thing. So it's worth doing. Just download it, go to the App Store on your iPhone, or you can visit PocketStable.com, and we appreciate them being part of the show. Now, Chris, there's been somebody else here with us today, too, that was came over to help out, and that's my lovely wife, Coach Jen. And we haven't seen her all morning, and she just walked in. Literally, she has not been down here at all. So what have you been doing?
Been shopping, I'll probably. Well, I did a quick pre-shop. Can't do any purchasing until Sunday, but I did a quick pre-shop, some fun and interesting things. But then I sat down, and I watched the small junior hunters, and now we've got the 16 to 17-year-old junior hunters going. And I was rather enjoying that. Had some really pretty rounds and had some, ooh, that's too bad rounds. So that was a lot of fun. It's very quiet up there right now, but the school children are filing in.
That's something we didn't mention. They have 1,000 school children coming out on field trips Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, that's a great idea to educate the young people about this horse show and the venue. And as John just said, you know, that this is history in the making for the Altec National Horse Show. So it's great to have the children come along.
Did you get a chance to go into the educational section they have built yet?
I've been over there, but not to any one of the sessions.
It's great.
Oh, you like it? Yeah.
For elementary school kids, it is great. They have a... They have an Altec coloring book, of course. Well, they took one of the pages of the coloring book and they blew it up to billboard size. And then they have a whole crate of...
Oh, so you get to go...
You can color on this like 10 feet high. It's pretty awesome. And the Pony Club really did a nice display. It's very hands-on. They have grooming tools. You can groom a horse made out of carpet, which is kind of fun. They have carpet spray in there for them, too. But the educational section is really neat for families who have kids and you go, ooh, they're going to be bored. No, drag them in there. They'll have a great time.
Well, that's good.
All right. Well, there's lots of shopping, of course, to be done while you're here. If you get a chance to come over, the program, as we've heard about, is obviously exciting for the rest of the show. Not only are the hunters running all day until the afternoon session, and then we get to into the big jumping league and with the international competitions that is run under the FEI rules. And Friday this evening, we've got that international open jumper speed that we heard from Charlie Jane earlier.
That's a fun one where they go fast, right?
The speed classes.
That's where we're coming over tonight.
From the start, they go fast. And then tomorrow evening, of course, is the big one. That is the Altec National Horse Show $250,000 Grand Prix, which, as we heard, is a very important World Cup qualifier. Everybody wants to get to Holland next April. And that will obviously earn points to any of the North American League, but also it counts two other leagues as well. So that's really important in terms of the jumping calendar. And you know, then we also have the opening ceremonies as well. And we've got the McClay final on Sunday afternoon, which is the culmination of lots of qualifications, seeing the best riders.
He said 200 kids here for the McClay this year.
The finals are awesome to watch because they do some really cool stuff for the finals. It's not just another hunter course.
Right.
Yeah.
So lots going on here. And just to remind everybody, of course, the Jumping Radio Show, I'll be here every day recording. We're up on the concourse. If you get here, we have a booth set up just inside the main public entrance.
here on the main concourse in the Alltech Arena, where I will be interviewing a lot of the riders. I've already been talking to some of our medalists from the Pan American Games, and we're going to be hearing from some of the other jumpers and our local rider, Christina Kelly. We've got a lot of, you know, I've talked to Jessica Springsteen, Brian Gutelli's here, Reed Kessler, I talked to her. A lot of the regulars that have come on, that younger generation who were really out here all guns blazing to compete in the big league, which they have been doing, of course, on the European circuit. But also, my two predictions for stars for the future. Do you want to hear those?
Okay, we'll hear it.
One of them has been on the show here just a few weeks ago. And it's a younger, when I say young, and I don't know if you remember the show, when I had 13-year-old Lily Keenan on the show.
Oh, Lily was wonderful.
Well, you should have seen her jump yesterday, and you would say, Lily is more than wonderful. She just turned 14, so she's riding as a 13-year-old. And I was watching her out back warming up, and just, I mean, she went and won a class yesterday. She's doing the hunters, and she's doing the jumpers. My prediction, for what it's worth, will be that this girl is going to be one of our stars for the future. Unquestionably, she has an enormous amount of natural talent. And it's really exciting to see those kind of kids emerge from a breeding ground like the Alltech National Horse Show. And another girl who I'm really, really impressed with, you know, I've watched these girls over time, and they've been on the show, but it's really nice to see it reinforced. Star quality, Brianne Guttel. Jessica Springsteen has been a regular on the show. Jess and I talked yesterday, and she was in the big class last night. She just got here in time for that class last night. And a beautiful horse. I mean, she's got a super, super horse, so you could be a show hunter, lovely horse. Really good jumping talent. You know, you've got a lot of riders out there that you look at them, George Morris would say, you know, and he said down in Guadalajara, Mexico, for the Pan Am Games, you know, he was thrilled that, and they had to win to qualify for the Olympics. But he said, I don't care what we do, it's got to look good. And that's always been John's motive, George's motive. But joining me real quickly before we get out of the show this week is my friend Richard Jeffrey, who is the man behind all the courses here at the Alltech National Horse Show. Our course designer, aided and abetted by Mark Donovan, his assistant, is here for the first time, well, not in the first into the Kentucky Horse Park, but first to the National Horse Show here in the Kentucky Horse Park. So responsible for all the courses all day, your hunters, and then all evening the big classes. Richard, you've been a regular on the Jumping Radio Show, but welcome to Horses in the Morning.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Nice to have you here, because I know how busy you are. You're running around doing... Tell us how many courses you have actually built during this week.
I think I end up with some like 16 different courses by the time I get it through, yeah.
16 different courses. So you're here from dawn till midnight. I mean, last night, hey, I have a bone to pick with you. Last night, too many clear rounds, my friend. We were way too late.
Chris wanted to go to bed earlier.
It was way too late last night.
I think what you got to remember is we've got, a real fantastic bunch of horses here.
Yeah.
Footing's incredible. These horses are going to jump a big, big course on Saturday night. It's World Cup qualifiers, $250,000. You know, you can't ask them every night to do that. And also, they're in Washington last week. They're going to Toronto next week.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit consideration. We was pushing for time.
You were kind to them last night.
I was expecting about 10 clear rounds. But,
were you?
But it was still, I mean, there was only one fence below me to 50. That's 5 foot.
It's a great call.
And, you know, that would be a normal Grand Prix anyway, and you'd be lucky to get two or three clean out of that. But it just shows what caliber of horses we've got here. I mean, I think tomorrow's going to be exciting.
Very, very exciting. Tell us how far ahead, I know you use computers now to design your courses. Everything's done on your laptop. How far ahead would you plan your courses for a big show like this?
Just to confirm, I draw my courses on a laptop. You don't design them. It's not a program.
Sorry, I meant that.
It's not a program. There's no program. The only program is in my head for designing courses. It's all plotted because obviously we're a little bit lucky here. I mean, this is a decent sized indoor ring. Normally it's so compact that you have to really draw them to scale to make sure they all fit. I spent a week at home before I came out here doing them. So I came with something, but I fine-tuned them. I've actually got two different tracks for the Grand Prix tomorrow, and I'm still debating. I was waiting to tackle last night.
Really, to the last day?
How they jumped last night, and how they all fit in the ring, and all that sort of stuff. So, actually, when I leave you, my next project is to sort of make my mind up time. That's the worst when you got choices. I mean, but
do you usually do that? Give yourself choices for a big class?
A little bit. Well, I did my original course. I wasn't too happy with it. I went back and drew another one. And then when I got here, I looked at the arena. Cause my first concern was I didn't think my first track would fit that well. And as you know, we've got all the old World Equestrian Games jumps back, which is so exciting.
Well, I wonder how hard you get about that. That's wonderful.
And I wasn't sure. You know, obviously, they're a bit bigger than the normal indoor jumps you have. So I wasn't sure how it's all going to fit in the ring. But most times I find I draw them up in advance, just put them away for a few days and look at them fresh again and then fine-tune them. And again, from whatever happens the day before, how they jumped and how it felt it went, to look back and do that. And then, of course, all I've done then is got a track. I haven't worked out the distances. Mm-hmm. Now I play with the distances, whether it's going to be a 4-stride, a 5-stride, whether it's going to be a short, or going to be a long. Mm-hmm. So all those decisions have to be made.
All those variations. And you mentioned the jumps. You've got jumps from the World Equestrian Games. You've got a second home for them here, and they're all themed from Churchill Downs from to local farms. I mean, they're so beautiful in a way they're all each themed.
Well, at the Games, we came up with three different themes. And obviously, we wanted to promote Kentucky at the World Equestrian Games. The first day was the nature of Kentucky. The second day was the thoroughbred industry, the racing, and then iconic Kentucky. They were all to be sold, disposed of after the Games, which was really heartbreaking after spending 2 years working on them and coming up with the themes. They didn't all get sold, and of course, with World Equestrian Games winding up, they needed a home. And fortunately, having some good contacts, and I have to thank the First Lady also helping me start at the top, work downwards, and we got them back at the park. In fact, the National Horse Show now owns some of them. EEI, who runs the Radix 3-Day, also owns some of them. And we're working together. We'll use them here. And next year they'll be at the Radix 3-Day event. And just
well, the exciting thing is, of course, we can't let you go without mentioning the prospect of there being a Nations Cup here next year, Richard. How exciting is that, if you get it?
It would be great. I mean, I remember years back when I came here first building Nations Cup in Washington as part of the indoor circuit. So it would be lovely to get that back again get the real full international.
Very, very exciting. Obviously, that's the pinnacle of a horse show, isn't it, to have a Nations Cup. Richard, I know how busy you are. I won't keep you because you're juggling hunter classes and then getting ready for the big jumper classes tonight. Thank you very much for stopping by and joining us.
Thank you, Richard.
Here.
Appreciate it.
Lovely to see you, and good luck to Richard. As I said, he's got to set the right questions for these top jumpers over the next 2 days here of competition at the Alltech National Horse Show. Glenn, I think we're running out of time.
Thank you so much, Chris, for filling in and providing some expertise on jumping, which I don't have.
Well, I want to thank what's her name? Who's the girl you usually have on the show?
Jamie,
that's right. Jamie, what's her name? Jamie Jennings. I want to thank Jamie for letting me take her seat. I have kept it warm, Jamie, and you will be back here on Monday, I know, too.
I just got a nasty note on our little text here.
Oh, nasty to me? Or?
Oh, both of us.
Oh, both of us. Thanks, Jamie. Next time I get an opportunity to plug you on my show, I will see whether I take up that opportunity.
We will be back on Monday morning at 9 a.m. And don't forget, everybody, it is the weekend of the races. So they start this afternoon over at Churchill Downs. You'll want to catch all the races that we talked about yesterday. You'll see who predicted the best or who got the most winners out of all of our predictions yesterday. If you missed yesterday's show, go back and take a listen to it. It was a fun show all about the Breeders' Cup. And, Jamie, thank you so much for producing today. We will be back again tomorrow. And as Jamie would say, spay, neuter, and geld. And as I would say, we'll see you at Peelers.
Well, thank you all for listening.